Every team, every topic, everywhere. This is Believe.
It is episode 141 of the Say Hey Podcast, part of the Believe Podcast Network. I'm Doug Hayes. It is October 22nd, 2024. Rob, we get the worst possible World Series for us Giants fans. We get the New York Yankees and, of course, the Los Angeles Dodgers.
Yep. I mean, I think we kind of predicted it last week. We were like Miss Cleo up in here and just trying to predict it. But trying to predict it, but somehow be wrong, you know, like I think we were doing the reverse jinx. At least I was, where I was like, okay, maybe the Dodgers just finish this off real quick, and then the Yankees will do their thing with Cleveland. And sure as shit, they both get it done. And now we got that long break we were talking about because they both wrapped it up so quickly.
True.
I mean, Dodgers in six. So I mean, at least that one got back to LA, but. Yeah, we're in the middle of that layoff right now, and damn, it was a little longer than I thought, man. Friday, man, that's still like 3 days away, and I feel like they haven't played in, you know, a month now.
It's like, so it's what? The Dodgers wrapped it up Sunday, so it's like four full days off for the Dodgers, and then The Yankees got it done, was it Friday night or Saturday?
Friday night.
Okay. So they get like 5 or 6 days off, so who knows if that'll come into play, but both teams are going to be fairly as fresh as possible going in. I know it's Flaherty and Cole, I think, in game one on Friday. So
yeah, it could be Johnny Holstaff for the Dodgers. That's kind of how it's been lately, and it's been working out
for him. So yeah, I mean, it's obviously you get the two titans of the game with Otani and Judge, and I think it's gonna get beaten into the ground, and you know, we'll get sick of it, but it definitely will be a World Series that a lot of fans, you know, of other teams will tune in to watch. I'll watch when I can, for sure. Like I because it doesn't happen every year where you get the two best teams in baseball. And I mean that, like, you know, don't kill me, Giants fans, but like these are probably the two best teams in baseball this year, and I can say that comfortably. I mean, did the Phillies end up having more wins than the Dodgers or no? I don't even remember looking at the standings at the end of the year, but
I want to say they did, but don't quote me on that.
Yeah. These are the two best teams this year for 2024. So, I mean, and I think this is what, the 12th time the Dodgers and Yankees have met up in the Fall Classic, which is kind of crazy. The second most, though, I heard on, TortureCast. I was listening to that this morning. And The second most meetings is the Yankees and Giants with 7. So
how about that?
Kind of a little trivia there. So let's cut the bullshit. Rob, what do you think in this series? What's going down?
Well, yeah, I saw your poll on Giants Chatter today, but I didn't vote.
Unity.
Oh. Yeah. Over on Facebook, Giants Chatter. If you're not on it, get on it. But I didn't vote because I wanted to leave you in suspense.
I knew that's why you didn't. I knew you saw it.
Of course I saw it. But I think we talked about it tonight. So yeah, I wanted to leave you wondering all day long, Doug. But I'm going to go with the Yankees in 7. Yankees in 7.
All right. I'm going to go for the reverse jinx. I'm going Dodgers, even though I really do think this is going to happen. I'm going to go Dodgers in 6. I think it's going to be a great series. I don't think we're going to see any, because, you know, especially the Dodgers side, you've been seeing some blowouts. Like they've kind of just like been manhandling teams throughout the playoffs. I'm going to go LA in 6. I hope I'm wrong. But yeah, it'll be their, you know, first World Series and 36 years, that, you know, is a full season. So if that happens, and that's for another topic. But yeah, I'll go LA in six and hope I'm absolutely wrong on that, because I am wrong a lot. So maybe I'll continue that trend.
So am I. So something's got to give. But it's interesting. Like, I think I talked about it, or we talked about it last week, how both of their bullpens, which is what held them back all year, and they've been so good in the playoffs.
That's true.
And now they're coming to a head, and you're just wondering, okay, who's gonna blink? And I guess, I mean, because people are gonna ask for reasoning, I'm sure, because I just kind of threw Yankees and seven out there. I'm gonna go with, I like their starting pitching just a little bit more, and I feel like that's how the best way to neutralize a great lineup is with great starting pitching. And the Yankee starting pitching is not great, but Gerrit Cole, Carlos Rodon, and Clark Schmidt's done the ball pretty well too. Like, I like them just a little more than I like Yoshi and the boys on the Dodgers. So that's my reasoning. It's pretty simple.
All right, we'll wrap it up with this. I'm going to ask you one question, and I do think it's one that's on the back of our minds. Will we see Shohei Ohtani pitch in the series?
No.
No?
No.
I would think that they absolutely would love to avoid that, and I think anybody would. But I wouldn't rule it out, man. I think if this gets to like game 5, 6, 7, and they need one absolutely huge inning, and maybe the bullpen's taxed, and I don't know, it's tough getting to the World Series. It's tough getting to the later games, and it's late October and early November, and then you got to factor in like these guys are about to be off for a couple of months. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I know he's been throwing. Like, could he give them 20 pitches out of the pen? Like, I wonder if, you know, obviously, like, I don't know how he's done the entire postseason, but I think he's been decent. I know, look at the other day, Blake Treinen is back in the later innings for the Dodgers. Mm-hmm. I wonder if they're like, hey, we need one inning right now from Shohei Ohtani. Let's do it.
I suppose anything is possible. Like, we saw Madison Bumgarner in 14, where he basically pitched, you know, every inning of that series somehow, some way, and his arm, and, you know, and his arm, I think, paid the price in the end. But yeah, anything is possible, man. It would just be crazy for him not to throw all year. They throw him out there against, you know, in a big leverage spot against the Yankees in the World Series. I mean, it's what great baseball stories are made of right there, though. So if it happens, yeah, I mean, it'll be pretty special for sure.
Maybe he'll come in and just get lit the fuck up. Wouldn't that be awesome?
the way I kind of see it happening is that if that happened, he'd either go out there and dominate or he'd go out there and just walk everybody. And I don't know, it'd be feast or famine, I feel like, because what if he ends up in the stretch and then he's got thrown out of the stretch? He hasn't done that in almost 2 years. And like, I don't know how you can replicate that down in the bullpen effectively when you haven't done it in so long, and you can't do simulated games, of course, right now. And it's just, but it would be some theater. Like, I think the series would have to go 6 or 7, which we both think it will. For it to get to that point. But no, if it did, like, it would be exciting for sure. And yeah, Major League Baseball, of course, they'd eat it up.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, man. I am excited though. I know it's the Dodgers, I know it's the Yankees, two teams everybody hates, but I am excited for sure.
All right. Let's talk Giants. And figure tonight we'd maybe, I guess you can call it a game. Everybody's played Would You Rather before. And so we're going to play a little Would You Rather. And tonight we're going to start with a pressing, you know, position of question going into the offseason in first base. And we will record again tomorrow night. At least that's the plan. And do shortstop then. So we're doing like a little mini two-part, you know, I guess series here. Look at us. But yeah, tonight we'll start first base. And I think we'll kind of just do this, you know, loosely, like whatever. Like, do you want? We should do this. Like, what would you do? Obviously, it's Would You Rather. So, not thinking what Buster Posey and Co would do. It's what would you do? Correct.
Correct.
Okay. All right. So we have three different things here. One, would you rather sign a free agent would you rather trade for a first baseman, or would you rather play someone who's already in the organization? So we will start with, I'm sure Rob's going to love this one, sign a free agent. Okay, Rob. So would you sign a free agent, and who would it be for first base?
Well, I got to say, I suggested last year before the season started that I would trade the city of San Francisco for Pete Alonso. And I meant it. I don't live in San Francisco, so forget it. They could have done it for all I cared. However, that didn't happen. And now Pete Alonso's a free agent. So if I'm Buster Posey, I go up to that guy and just ask him, like, what's it going to take, brother? The Giants haven't had a legitimate first baseman in a very, very long time. And I know there are a lot of Brandon Belt fans out there, but Brandon Belt, I mean, 2021 was a long time ago. Like, I'm not counting the 2022 season because he was really bad that year. The Giants need to fill that hole over at first base. And I think I can't think of any better way to do that than sign Pete Alonso. And if not Pete Alonso, you got Christian Walker out there. You got Paul Goldschmidt. You got a couple other guys that are a lot better than what you've had lately. So yeah, it's an easy one for me. I mean, it's definitely go out and sign Pete Alonso because I think he's the difference maker that this lineup has been missing for a long time. And yeah, Buster Posey said it himself. Like, how do you get better on the field? How do you go about that, Buster? Get more fucking talent on the field. And Pete Alonso is a mountain of talent. So that's the route I would go in that regard.
All right. Well, the episode's over. So no, I'm just fine. All right. So I'm on the website SpotTrack. You know, it gives all the contract information for all athletes across professional sports. Pretty cool. And they are projecting an average annual salary of $29 per year for Pete Alonso. So he is, you know, it's funny. I don't even know. You probably do know this, but it's kind of more of a shock to me. Like, that dude's not even 30 yet. Doesn't it feel like he's been around forever? Well, he's going to be 30 in December. So he's going to be 30 all of next year.
Yeah.
Like, that's crazy to think about. And it is notable that Scott Boras is his agent. So that is, you know, something to keep in the back of your mind.
He's already in the house.
And I'm sure we'll get more projections on things, but the market value right now, and he is the first or the top ranked first base free agent, would be 6 years, $174 million. So yeah, just about 29 mil per year, which would rank the 16th highest contract in Major League Baseball. So I thought that'd be kind of a cool way to look at it, you know, monetarily. So
it's cool to look at it. And I want Giants fans to realize this. It's SpotTrack says 29 per year for Pete Alonso. I'd go 36, 37 per year. I don't care. You are going to have to overpay for anybody. You have to accept that as Giants fans. You have to overpay for anybody who's going to come out here and hit. I mean, maybe the Matt Chapman season last year, maybe that perks some people up to the idea because he did a fantastic job and hit above his career average out here in terms of home runs and RBIs and all that. But accept it. You know, you are going to have to overpay for elite talent to sign here. And I don't want to hear the excuses anymore because it's been a long time and it's got to be done.
So I guess this can be just kind of like a loose flowing episode. Cause this is, I, the format of it's kind of hard because like, boom, like obviously I knew that Rob's going to go for Pete Alonso cause he's only said it, you know, 1 to 10 times on this podcast. So that was obvious. And I get that, but like, let's think, I think in return, in regards of arbitration, because, and I'm sure we'll have an episode that'll discuss, you know, the arbitration eligible guys for the Giants. We have Lamont Wade Jr. who is still arbitration eligible. But also we have Wilmer Flores, who has a player option for $3.5 million this year. He's probably going to pick that up. So realistically, the Giants are going to have Wilmer Flores on the team unless they, you know, he picks it up and they just flat out DFA him, you know, and then he can go, if he clears, he can go sign somewhere else, which I'd imagine someone would probably take a flyer on Wilmer Flores.
He'd be a great Ray.
But but I do think that it's realistic that the Giants would like to keep Lamont Wade Jr. around. And here's the thing. I keep going back and forth in my head between, like, what I think should happen or, like, what I would do and then, like, realistically what the Giants would do. Like, because gun to my head, like, yeah, I think the Giants are going to, you know, try and avoid arbitration and keep Lamont Wade Jr. around because he does things – he does several things well when he's healthy. But I don't think that should prevent them from going out and do something. And all obviously – in the Giants situation, there is the whole Bryce Eldridge, you know, dilemma, which, well, it's not really a dilemma, but it's another factor.
He's waiting in the wings.
Correct. And he's close. Like, he's probably going to be up with the team at some point in 2024 or 25. Yes. Like, there's no doubt about that. So you have to think, well, like, what if, but I've come to the realization, it's like, we can't play the what if game anymore with the Giants because nothing's guaranteed. And you know what? If you go get a proven first baseman to come in, hit the middle lineup, i.e. Pete Alonso, who would probably come to Oracle and, let's be real, hit in between 30 to 35, maybe 40 home runs. If he's healthy, I could see him doing that for sure. Not, you know, 12 home runs and 36 RBIs like Wolf said he has. But yes, that's a shot. Anyways, yeah, I can't wait to hear about it in the comments on Giants Chatter, but that's fine.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
But, yeah, I say F it, dude. Go pay a first baseman that can do it, and then, you know what, worry about Bryce Eldridge later. And the thing is Pete Alonso is not a great defensive first baseman, so maybe when Eldridge is ready to be in the lineup every day and he is better, move Alonso's ass to fucking DH. And then Eldridge can play. Or, you know, if they need a day off, they can alternate. Like, that would be if Bryce Eldridge ends up being a good major leaguer, that's a hell of a, like, platoon right there at first base.
Yeah, for sure. And I want to say it doesn't have to be Pete Alonso. I just think this is a good first base class in terms of free agents.
It
free agency. And this is the time for the Giants. Because the way I view this, Doug, it's like in football where, like, every team at this point has a pretty good quarterback that puts up numbers. Even the bad ones are good now. And in the NBA, every team has a pretty damn good point guard. You know, even the bad ones are good. Even if they don't rank high, I'm like, damn, this guy's still pretty damn good, you know? And that's how I view first baseman in Major League Baseball. And somehow the Giants just can't get on board with this. And it just drives me up the fucking walls every year. Like, I do not want to rant about this again because I've done it 1,000 times. But the Giants just need to get on board with this and stop experimenting with first base. Like, this is the time to do it. Whether it's Pete Alonso, Christian Walker, Paul Goldschmidt for a year, Rhys Hoskins, Josh Bell, Justin Turner, like, you have to get this right at some point. And I know Bryce Eldridge is close. We're all excited for him, but you can't rely on him as of right now in 2025. You know, he's still a baby, you know, and it's just better to, like you said, Doug, go out there, make that move, get a guy in here. And then if Eldridge is destroying Sacramento, or whatever, then you cross that bridge. You figure out what you're going to do, whether you're going to, hopefully you don't platoon, because I hope whoever the first baseman is and Bryce Eldridge, they're both hitting the ball so goddamn well.
That's true. I didn't mean platoon
splits.
Yeah.
Right. Like, hopefully you can get both of player A and Eldridge into the lineup.
Sure. Yes.
But it's something that they have to get done. I do not want another year of, you know, Brandon Belt and Darren Ruff, Lamont Wade, Wilmer Flores. No more, please.
All right. Well, we're here to kind of do would you rather. So let me ask you this. Would you rather have Pete Alonso, and say he goes for that, you know, what was it, 6-year 175, I said, Or would you rather go with Christian Walker, who surprisingly, he now is a little older than I would imagine. He's 33 and a half. So he'll be 34 for a lot of next season. Would you rather give him like a 3 or 4 year deal for probably a cheaper AAV, and you're getting a better glove with Christian Walker over at first too? I guess we could play would you rather with that for the free agents.
If those were the options presented to me right now, I would go with Christian Walker. I like his glove better. The power's there. Like, as much, yeah, like people are like, oh, Robbie, you said you're gonna sell San Francisco for Pete Alonso, and I would, but
he's probably more polarizing, you know. But
yes, you know. Yes, but like I think defense is gonna be so paramount to how Buster Posey builds his team, and Christian Walker is such an underrated defender, and he's gonna give you the offensive production as well. And he's hit, I'm pretty sure, like Pete Alonso has, he's hit well in his career at Oracle Park. So if it comes down to that, if in a perfect world, like, hey, Pete Alonso wants to come here but for this, and Christian Walker wants to come here but for this, I'd have no issues going with Christian Walker and, you know, saving a little bit of money and spending the other money that would have gone to Alonso on somebody else, because the Giants have a lot of holes, let's be real.
I completely agree. I would love to have Pete Alonso's bat in the middle lineup, but it's like, if you could spend a little less and probably have a couple less years, I would rather take Christian Walker. He's been fairly healthy for the most part the last four seasons. He did get banged up this previous season a little bit, but he still appeared in 130 games. Let's just do this. Since 2021, he's appeared in 115 games, 160, 157, and 130. So for the most part, he's on the field.
Right.
And in terms of home runs, he hit 10 in 2021, but then 36 in 22, 33 in 23, 26 this year. If he would have stayed healthy, probably would have hit 30. He drives guys in, and he hits for, in today's baseball, a respectable average. He, 251, 335 on base, and a 468 slug last year. I think I probably would rather have Christian Walker if it came down to it over Pete Alonso. So, hey, if the Giants want to go and get Christian Walker for first base, like, sign me the hell up, dude. I'd take that in a heartbeat.
If you had to bet right now, out of all those first basemen that are available, who would you bet on that they sign?
That's a good question. jokingly, who's a free agent? In a reunion party, Donovan Salato appeared in 26 games at first for the Padres this year, Rob. I'm joking. Okay.
How dare you?
You know what? If that were like, I think they would look at it as a bridge option, like a 2 year deal for Josh Bell.
Oh, okay. Go ahead. Yeah. I was thinking the same. Yeah, I was thinking Goldschmidt, but like, okay. Same reasoning.
I think Josh Bell for 2 years would be like a realistic, like, and I wouldn't be upset with it, but I think that this is such a great class of first baseman free agent. I mean, he's old, but he's still productive. Carlos Santana is a free agent. Ryan O'Hearn from the Orioles had a pretty decent year. Yulieski Gurriel is old, but who knows if he's going to play another year. But in terms of, like, I could see the Giants bridging it for, a year or two to try and get Eldridge, like, really established. I mean, we got to remember, Bryce Eldridge is currently 19 years old. Would it be great for him to come up at 19, 20 and just immediately deliver and he's the next superstar? Absolutely. But we got to be realistic. This is the Giants. That never happens. So until it does, it's unprecedented. But I do think a realistic option would be, like, not shock me, would be Josh Bell as a bridge guy. But dream scenario would be the Giants going to get Christian Walker and dealing with Bryce Eldridge later. That would be my dream first base scenario.
Yes. Yeah, gun to my head, I would say Posey barks up a Goldschmidt's tree and Justin Turner's tree.
Yeah, I could see that. Goldschmidt got off to like a really, really slow start this last year, but he ended up having an okay year. Let me pull his numbers up since we're kind of flying through this and we're almost done, actually. Let's stall for a minute.
Goldschmidt's bat this year looked very, very slow early on. Like, very slow. And so, he picked it up. So
had a lot of strikeouts this year, tied his career high in strikeouts with 173. I mean, Goldschmidt is 37 years old, so he's getting up there. He's had a great career. He's probably going to be a Hall of Famer,
I think he will be. Yeah.
Yeah. And so 22 home runs, 65 RBIs, which, like, hey, sounds like almost like Matt Chapman's year. You know, Elliot Ramos, like very similar numbers, obviously hitting a different ballpark, 81 times. But here's the thing with Paul Goldschmidt. He is always on the field, dude. Always. Yep. I can go back to 2012 when he was in his, second year. This is going to take a while, but just listen to the amount of games. 145, 160, 109. 159, 158, 155, 158, 161, 2020 played 58 out of 60, 158, 151, 154, and 154 again this last year. Paul Goldschmidt stays healthy. And he so that is an option. I don't know. We do know that he has had a great time hitting that Oracle Park through the years. Especially off of Tim Lincecum and Madison Bumgarner, but
yes.
I don't know. That's an option as well. I think it could come down to, hey, would you prefer, a lefty over there or a righty? Who knows? But they could look at it as too, is like I said, I do think that they would like to pick up and keep Lamont Wade Jr. So maybe they do lean more if they want to go for it for one more year and you go with the right hand bat and Goldschmidt. And that way, again, it's a platoon, but it's like it's a platoon with Paul Goldschmidt, which would be kind of cool, even though it's later part of his career. But, hey, maybe Goldschmidt, it's not a splits thing where it's not a lefty righty matchup thing. It's a, hey, like who's healthy and who's hot right now. And maybe Paul Goldschmidt plays 4 days a week and Wade plays 3 days a week. I don't know.
Yeah,
I could see that though.
I could see it just because of, maybe it's because I have PTSD with the Giants last couple of years. I could see it. I could see it right now if I could see it on my screen right now. But I hope it doesn't happen like that. And just for the sake of the discussion, we're talking first baseman, of course. Outside of Vlad Jr., is there a first baseman you would actually trade for?
I know we haven't really talked trades at all.
Figure I'd bring it up.
Like if it's the right package, like I love Vladimir Guerrero Jr. I think he's awesome. And I know there's been some like unofficial rumors, of course, which whatever, but he'd be cool to trade for. Like, would I trade for him? Yes. Now, is there another free agent or a first baseman that would be available via trade? I can't think of any off the top of my head.
I couldn't think of any. That's why I threw him out. And I know he's he's in a contract year next year. I believe he's set to be a free agent of winter 2025. I believe that's accurate.
Yes, I okay. God, Spot Track's awesome. I just switched the year to next year.
Yeah.
Yes. Vlad, who is currently, hold on, sorry. He is currently 27. He will be a free agent next year along with Anthony Rizzo, but he has an option this winter. So who knows if the Yankees pick that up. I wouldn't want him anyways. Yeah.
I don't want him.
Josh Naylor with the Guardians. He is a free agent next winter as well. Max Muncy, Ty France, Wilmer Flores again, and Evan White with the Angels. So, yeah.
A little thinner.
It is. And that's why I think – no, like, but seriously though, even though the whole Bryce Elders thing is there, that's why this is the winter, this is the offseason where you strike via free agency and you go get one of these guys because you have two top end first baseman, like bat wise, with Alonso and Walker, and then you have those like second tier B guys in Goldschmidt and Josh Bell, and you know, even maybe a Carlos Santana that could hold you over for a year, hit you for some power. Yeah, I mean, that would be that would be an interesting look.
Yeah, this just isn't to me, like, unless it's for a Vlad Jr. And I don't know, like, again, we don't know how Buster Posey's mind thinks. Giants don't even have a GM. So, but to me right now, it just doesn't seem like the time to go ass backwards trying to trade for a first baseman. And like, yeah. You shouldn't have to do that right now.
We're on the same page of that. I just don't think this is the trade for a first baseman offseason, and no. It just doesn't make sense. Yeah. So I think we're kind of in the same boat. Just this is the offseason to say, especially with the new guard. And I think, and if I'm wrong, correct me on this, because I think you would agree with me. Like, we would like, as fans, at least for us, to see the Giants be aggressive right out of the gate this offseason. And it's not like, hey, it's a new start, new president of baseball operations. Like, give us a couple years. Like, no. And we've said it many times. This is a team that if you make three or four of the right moves, they can compete next year. And I think a guy like Buster Posey, who played for this organization, has a stake in this organization, and now is running this organization, wants to be competitive and good right away. I'm not talking win the World Series next year. I'm being realistic. It's get to the playoffs and like compete to win a series. Like, that has to be the goal this next year.
Yeah, of course. We always want the Giants to be aggressive in free agency, considering that they never have been in our 30-plus years of living. and the fact that we all have a pretty good idea that the Giants have had the idea that Buster was going to take over Farhan's job probably for a while now. Like, they're going to say, oh, this just kind of – we weren't sure, and it just kind of happened really fast. No, I'm pretty sure like this was the wheels got turned on this probably back in or early in the season that this became a topic. And like, would you want to do this? Like, and we'll never know for sure, but I have a pretty good feeling that the Giants have had this in the works for a while. So to me, in my book, I don't want to hear the it's going to take time, give it time, we got to figure out a plan. No, I think you've known what the plan was for a while now. So yeah, and listening to Buster's press conference, I mean, he was pretty vocal about how the Giants just didn't have a lot of talent in the field. So go get some damn talent then, because I agree with Buster on that. It was music to my ears. He said in not so many words, this product has sucked. And it's been an eyesore, and I couldn't agree more. So I'm all about, you know, get out there, be aggressive, overpay if you have to. And like I said, when we first started today, you got to accept that if you're a Giants fan. The Giants are going to have to overpay, especially for position players, to get them here. And then that's okay. You know, it's all about wins and losses. And are they all going to work out? Maybe not, but that's why, you know, there's risk reward and everything sports related when it comes to free agency. It's not always going to work, but I want to see the intent and I want to see the drive to make this team better.
All right, Rob, let's get out of here. But one last thing, because we both kind of agreed that Christian Walker would be main option, right? Even over Alonso. I'm just confirming that with you.
I mean, it's free agent. It's 1A, 1B to me.
Okay.
But until we, according to SpotTrack, yeah, I think the Christian Walker deal is a little more team friendly.
Because I got that up.
Especially with Bryce Eldridge waiting in the wings, hopefully, and won't be a bust. But I wouldn't be upset either way with either guy. I don't care what they're making.
Okay, so remember I said the market value, and this is just SpotTrack. We're gonna, in the next couple weeks when the hot stove gets going, we'll see different projections. Hopefully we don't see any stupid 12-year shit for Cody Bellinger again this year. So listen, right now they have an AAV, average annual salary, value for Christian Walker at $22.1 million, which is pretty cheap, in my opinion. Cheaper than Matt Chapman, okay? It's cheaper than Matt Chapman, and they have it for 3 years, which would get him through his year 36 season. So the market value on here is approximate. I'm not saying this is what it will be or, you know, whatever, but like 3 for $66. Would you not? I would in a heartbeat give Christian Walker 4 for $100 for 25 per.
Oh, hell yeah. I give him more than that.
I'm just saying, like, if that, if I'm talking to who his agent, he's with CAA, his agency, and I'm like, hey, we'll give you 4 for $100 right now. It's 25 per to come to San Francisco. Like, I'd be happy with that Giants offer. I would.
If the Giants could get him for 25 per, I will streak through the streets.
Okay, you heard it here first, guys. God, I hope it happens now. Because, not that I want to watch. I just want to see you be embarrassed like that.
Yeah, it's fine. But I would offer him 30 out of the gates. Like, if I'm Buster Posey and I'm whoever the new GM is. I mean, that's where I'm starting. And I'm willing to work from there. It's just it's part of the deal, man. The Giants are going to have to overpay.
I get it.
And,
I agree.
And they're not paying anybody right now besides Logan Webb. So,
and he's not even really getting paid.
And Matt Chapman. I'm sorry. I forgot about the new contract.
And Yoo-Hoo a little bit.
Yoo-Hoo.
But yeah, outside of that, I will give Farhan credit for this. Like, he left the team with there's a little more talent on it than when he took it over, and the contract situation is better for sure. Like, there's more flexibility now. So give him credit for that.
I will give him credit that the Giants aren't tied up in a bunch of shit contracts.
True.
Because he couldn't get any of those done.
All right, let's get the hell out of here because we're going to be back at it tomorrow night for part two, shortstops. That should be fun. Make sure you're joined up on Giants Chatter on Facebook, on X, at Say Hey Doug, at Say Hey Rob, at Say Hey Podcasts. And make sure you're giving us a nice 5-star rating if you're liking what you're hearing. And until next time, for Say Hey Doug and Say Hey Rob, talk to you soon. Go get Christian Walker.
All rise. Aaron Judge.
Say hey.
Say who?
Say Willie. Say hey.
Say who?
Swinging at the plate. Say